This is Jason Nimro, and you are listening to Cohen Monk Mormon. And we've talked so much here in the past about what's going to happen after this life. But it might be interesting to talk about what actually happened before. Now, there's not a lot of information. Joseph Smith, who was the founder of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints under the direction of Jesus Christ. That's why it's called the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, is because Jesus Christ directed that this be done. Joseph Smith was simply an obedient servant. Good guy. Did amazing things. But can I tell you what? He was just doing what the Lord told him to do. And, he's just a guy like any other. So you don't want to give him too hard of a time if you feel like he was a good guy or a bad guy. It doesn't matter. Well, there was a little bit discussed about this Joseph Smith's time. And it was explored further. You have to understand there's continuing revelation from God in the venture. It's not really a venture, in the priesthood that is its structural government is embodied in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Beyond that, it's just a guy who, a group of people who have been authorized by God to receive authoritative revelation as to what Christ once done with the church. Anyway, I'm not one of those guys. I don't have that kind of a position. Even on a local level, well, I guess I do. I'm technically the Sunday school president of a local ward of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and therefore I'm kind of in charge of trying to make sure that good teaching and correct teaching are done at church. Anyway, oh man, I gotta turn on some more air. Okay, so let's talk about before we are born. Most Christians think that we wink into existence upon conception. Latter-day Saints have additional revelation from God concerning the time before. The question is, how far do I want to go back? Can I tell you one thing? All of us have existed forever. We had no beginning and we had no end. In this way, we are very much in the same grain as God Himself. Now, it's been explained in some of our scripture, and it's not explained very explicitly or very much, but that before we became spirit, okay, hang on. There's like a very pre before anything else happened. Like I said, we have always existed in the past. We exist now, and we will always exist in the future. There is no point in which we cease to exist. I know that's very upsetting to people who would rather just wink out and no longer be. You don't have that option. That's just not part of your nature or mine. That's simply what we do. And I hope you don't get too upset because I'm not working off notes. I didn't sit down and kind of map out exactly how I was going to talk about this. It's probably easier to at least at this moment work a little bit backwards. Before we were born, we were spirits. but we were also spiritually born. Everything tends to be spiritual before it becomes physical. And the ultimate wonderful state, which we've talked about a little bit in the past, is resurrection, where your spirit and your body are joined together perfectly. I don't know how the right way to state that is. It's where they are joined in such a way so that the body never dies, the body never gets sick, everything is just hunky-dory. Our state here on earth is a loose binding of spirit and body with a lot of interesting problems. You know, we get sick, we can get hurt physically, and we're going to die. And everybody, everybody dies. Jesus Christ died too. Everybody goes through something of a death experience. Anyway, so to continue to kind of go back, we were spirits with no bodies before we were sent to earth. Now, that's something that's kind of a unique tidbit from God that a lot of Christians don't have, because it doesn't really say it very well in the Bible. There's some things that say, Jeremiah was God knew Jeremiah before he was born. And you go, how do you do that? And you go, because he was a spirit before that, and as a spiritual child of God. Now, you have some kind of spiritual birth? I suppose so. Don't know a darn thing about it. I don't think anybody really knows about that particularly, at least at this point. But you can conceive of the fact that you were born as a spirit, and you lived as a spirit for quite a while. Now, since you are from eternity to eternity, you have always existed, you will always exist. What on earth were you before you were born as a spirit? And that label we usually put on that is called an intelligence. Everything has intelligence. Everything had some kind of spiritual birthing. The earth itself, this planet, we all call it the creation. It's probably more of a birth. All of the materials were brought together to make this earth. Each little bit of it has a little bit of the divine spark in it. And that divine spark is not something that God gave them, and it was something that they had inherently. And God brought them together to make this world. God brought all of our little bits and molecules together to create our bodies. God did the same thing on a much finer spiritual plane that, frankly, we can't see. And there's spirit children now waiting for their chance to come to earth. They're waiting. And there's spirits that have already lived but now have died and are awaiting their resurrection. And apparently they're here too, here on earth, close by. It's almost like, I don't know if you got Star Trek or anything like that, it's almost like these people are out of phase with us. It's actually different in that they can see us and our doings just fine. Sometimes I guess they would really like to intervene, but usually the power's not given to them to do it. Sometimes they will be able to breach that separation that's between us, and will be able to feel their presence. There's some people that have done that. Sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad. Let's not get into that. Okay. Before we were spirits, we were intelligences. And we don't know anything about that except that that's how we were. If you're a dirty, rotten jerk now, chances are you are a dirty, rotten jerk as an intelligence. And when you were a spirit, you were a dirty, rotten jerk. Mortal life really gives you a wonderful opportunity to try to break with that precedent. You aren't locked in, but you are what you are. You know, always talks about the natural man and that you need to work to overcome the natural man to become a better person, to become more godly. And this natural man, I've always felt like, was something that you were in as an intelligence. And upon birth as a spirit, you are a spirit that had that too. Certain attributes, certain skills, probably more attitudes and, I don't know, maybe even hang-ups that either you'd acquired in the spiritual realm or that you had as an intelligence. Now, in this mortal life, this mortal life gives you the most flexibility. Things are not locked in. You can actually work to change your nature, however you want to, better or worse. I would say that it's always better to go for the better side, to try to become a better person, but that's completely up to you. People can certainly get worse in Earth life because the body introduces a lot of interesting sensations. Sexual drive is one of the biggest ones that spirits don't have to deal with. And that's a tricky one. In fact, it was brought up once again the last couple of days have been the general conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, prophets and apostles and other church officers speaking to us. And it came up a couple of times, this whole concept of how powerful and either ennobling or dangerous human sexuality can be. That's why there's such strict rules around it. You know, don't do it until you get married. Its primary usefulness is to strengthen the bonds of marriage and to bring children into the world. And that's what you should be doing with it. If you seek to curtail any of this, if you use the sex drive that was put into you to make this happen, you know, it really takes a little bit of a sex drive to talk guys into getting married. And frankly, to talk girls, I don't know so much to talk girls into getting married. Anyway, but I just know how it is with the guys because I'm a guy. It helps. You know, big time sex drive. And, you know, you're doing, yeah. And you have to keep those things within bounds. And when you violate those bounds, God takes that very, 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 very seriously. It's messing around with that stuff outside of marriage and family. Marriage. Sex is to be done in marriage with your spouse, nobody else. Violating that is a sin right there next to murder for seriousness because you're playing around with life. Sex is how you bring spirits into mortality. like we said, if they were intelligences, they became spirits. There's actually a veil between at birth so that you can't remember anything before. It makes it because this is actually a time of testing. Mortal mortality is. And just to see how you'll behave if you don't have God standing over you. If you have this inherent need that Heavenly Father, that God had been right there in your spiritual childhood, and whether you were good or bad, or whether he liked you, you know, that you was one of his special favorites. Anybody who says that God doesn't have spiritual favorites is kind of kooky. You know, it's like, God isn't this stolid. Well, I don't know if it's really a question of being stolid, but he is the guy, I love everybody just the same. Are you nuts? Nobody loves everybody just the same. If you've got children who are more obedient and turn to you more and talk to you more, they're going to end up being your favorites. There it is. I don't know where I stand with God. He's very nice to me. I have received wonderful blessings. And at some point, I'm going to do some recordings about those wonderful blessings. I've talked to some people about it. They give me this weird look. Latter-day Saints, who are supposed to have a good grounding in this, they give me a weird look. It never happened to me. And I'm like, well, you probably need to talk to God more. You need to tell God about what you're planning and what you'd like to do, and that you would like some assistance on this. You would like some help. He's usually very willing and ready to give help, especially to those who are more willing to do service. Anyway, okay. So, you've always lived. It's always a thing. You are never going to cease to exist. You have always existed. Now, are you developing into something more? Of course. You're still on that course. You have been developing into something more, and there's still more development to do. Don't ask me how much. I don't know. But we can, just as God is our Heavenly Father, we can have spirit children at some point too. If we merit it, you know, and people talk about, oh, you know, you don't have to work for any of this. All you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ and everything good will come to you just by nature. And you're going, good things will come to you, but not the greatest things. You really have to put forth some effort to get the greatest things. And, I'm not saying it's hard, it's something you've got to do, and you've got to be pretty strident about it, and you've got to continue to increase and get better and better. So another thing, Dallin H. Oaks, who's the first counselor in the first presidency and the president of the Quorum of the Twelve, he is the next in line to be the prophet. He is very, in this last conference, he was very poignant about all of this stuff, about the importance of not just doing things, not checking off things on a checklist to say, okay, I did all these things, so I should be okay. It's about becoming something, becoming more like Jesus Christ. And the more you do this, the better off you will be in the afterlife. It's as simple as that. Of course, the whole thing to repent of your sins, that's mostly so that you'll be clean, that you won't have to pay for your sins later on. All the sins get... Okay, we already talked about that, so I'm not going to talk about it. Pardon me. So, when it comes to pre-earth life, all this stuff happened. Don't really know much about pre-earth life. Except that, you know, most parents will tell you that, most of their kids seem like they're born with attitudes. Many, many people really desire the fact that children come here basically all as blank slates, and that everything that your child, everything good or bad that comes from a child is a function of parenting or just, you know, nurture. There was this whole nature-nurture thing going on. I'm very much a both guy. I think kids come here with a lot of different things already. And some of them are going to be wonderful spirits coming into the world. Some of them are going to be pretty rotten apples coming into the world. And it's tricky because, you know, they all come to your family. You can't, you know, there is no spiritual amniocentesis that you can do to determine if you're going to get a tricky spirit coming here to be one of your kids. You just can't know that. And that's just as well. I don't know what to tell you. I've got, do I have tricky kids? Yeah. Are they basically good? Yeah. Are they doing a wonderful job? Some. You know, can they do better? Sure. We all can do better. Just at the afternoon session of the general conference that I was talking about of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, this afternoon, the prophet, Russell Nelson, he had recently hurt his back. He's 99 years old. Wow. That's pretty old. Anyway, but he's still in reasonably good shape and sharp. Doing great. Anyway, I'm probably going to misquote him, but I think the term was think celestial in everything that you do. And boy, he gave 100 different examples, almost ad nauseum. And he said, and what is the answer to most of these situations? What is the answer to all these things? Is to ding, think spiritual. And it's better for you. It's a good thing. Makes you a better person. I would encourage everybody to listen to the General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Whether you're a Latter-day Saint or not, whether you believe in any of it or not, you're going to hear things that you need to hear. You're going to hear things that touch your soul and make you say, ooh, I think that's really true. And that's why it's done that way. I'm going to have me some Vienna sausages. It's a wonderful thing to have the ability just to sit there and listen and look and at these people who God has set up to kind of run His, Jesus's church. I find it very different from anything else out there, certainly in Christendom, to help us get a sense for what God wants us to do. And you aren't left to just obey what they say. Almost in almost every case, it's like you need to pray about this. You need to get with God and get a confirmation. And this is what God wants you to do. It always helps to have something to work from, honestly. Come on. It is. It's easier. Anyway. Okay. Here goes the Vienna sausages, man. Part of my soul food, baby. I get the cheap stuff from Dollar General. Cheap little six packs are much cheaper than the individual ones that cost a dollar. This thing costs like $3.50 for a six pack. And I give them out to people who say that, you know, who are asking for help. People by the side of the road, people in the, you know, can you help me with something? Can you give me something? I'm hungry. A lot of people give them money. I don't. I actually give them food. Of course, people say, oh, Vienna sausages are really gross. And you go, hey, man, when I was a kid, Vienna sausages were a treat. I still think of them that way. And so I'm feeling pretty happy right now because I've got my Vienna sausages. Woohoo! And I hand them out to people. Although last time I had some apples last week, and I was also handing out apples. So, and that's what I do. And I think having that in food form is so much better than giving them money, because people can say, oh, I'm hungry, help me. And if you give them money, they may or may not spend that on food. And for my part, if they're going to say I'm hungry or I need help, food's always a wonderful thing. Because then they don't have to spend the money on food because they've got a can of food. And it's got a pull top on top. You don't even have to have something exotic to get it open. Just pull the lid, and da-da, you've got Vienna sausages in broth. And let me tell you, I think the broth is almost as efficacious as the Vienna sausages themselves. They're made of chicken, pretty much. Pretty much the parts of chickens that don't lend themselves to a KFC or something like that. And it's a wonderful thing. So, I don't know what made me go into that little thing. Anyway, we talked a little bit about where people come from. Do you come from under a cabbage leaf? No. You've always been this thing. And you have been striving for becoming like God all this time. In fact, you are now in what's called the second estate. The first estate was when you were a spirit. And you made the choice to come here to earth. The whole point of coming here to earth was to get an opportunity to become like God, or to go for a higher existence. And that's what you're here doing. So when people say, well, I don't think I ever bargained for this. Well, can I tell you? You actually did. You actually did. You actually had choices, and you chose this route. You chose this road already. There has actually been some steps that you went through that where you had decisions to make, and you decided to follow the path that led you here. I guess if you're an intelligence, you could have chosen to be a horse or a dog or a rock or a little particle of sand. You could have chosen to be any of those things and a billion different other things. But you chose to be born as a spirit and to animate a spirit. Now, it's you. It isn't like God don't make no junk, and you go, can I be honest? I said, God didn't make you. You are you. Nobody made you. Now, your spiritual body, yeah, did God make that? Yes, he gave you that opportunity. So you're kind of beholden to him because of what he's done for you. But you asked for it. You chose it from different options. So you're here. And now the fact that you're here on earth is even better. That means that you chose to follow Heavenly Father's plan to the point that you are going to follow, you're supposed to follow Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was set up as your Savior. And you said, yes, I want to follow that. And I'm I am going to work for Jesus Christ. So when you say, what am I being punished for? You know, what did I ever do? When did I ever agree to this? And then they'll show you behind the veil to the pre-earth life, and you'll go, oh, I did. I wanted all this stuff. And yes, that was me. It wasn't another you. It wasn't like somebody who looked like you in spirit form. And it's like, that wasn't me. That wasn't, I would have never agreed to that. You go, you did. And it is you. So you can't pull that stunt of saying, hey, this isn't anything that I agreed to. And you go, yep, it was. You were kind of strident about it. You wanted this. It wasn't that it was foisted on you. You had other choices. All righty, we got to make a turn here. Stay on Highway 60 and going toward Mountain Air and then on to the crash site. All right. So let me go ahead, and it's probably a great time to stop. Let me leave you with the priestly blessing of my fathers. My father and his father, all the way back to Aaron and his sons, who was given the priestly blessing by God himself. Here it is. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance up to you and give you peace.